You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Training to become a world-class ballerina takes the better part of one's youth, and it's easy to see how the thrill of dancing with one of the world's great companies would make many dancers reluctant to think about, much less plan for, a second career. But after a few decades of dancing professionally, all ballerinas must confront what comes next. Tonight, in a program entitled The Next Stage, Ballerinas Find New Careers, four noted dancers share stories of how they took the initiative to develop concert careers outside their home companies and how they managed their new public identities. Joining me now to talk about their two second acts are two of the panelists, Wendy Whalen, who enjoyed a 30-year plus career with the New York City Ballet, and Virginia Johnson, a founding member and longtime principal dancer with the Dance Theater of Harlem. The Next Stage begins at 7 p.m. tonight at the Julius S. Held Lecture Hall and is hosted by Barnard College of Dance. I'm very pleased to welcome Wendy Whalen and Virginia Johnson to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
And you'll be joined tonight by Lourdes Lopez, a former New York City Ballet dancer who's now artistic director of the Miami City Ballet. She was a recent guest on this show. And Arlene Schuller, a former dancer with the Joffrey Ballet, now the president and CEO of New York City Center.
Right?
Wow, what a lineup.
Yeah.
Who do you think will most benefit from the panel? The students who are still dreaming about a career in dance, or the professional dancers who live and work in New York City?
Or the audiences who don't know that there's a life after dance.
Well, everybody knows there's a life after dance, don't they?
Not the dancers.
I don't think. Not always. Yeah,
you know, I think there's a perception that dancers are this kind of rare beast, and once it's done being a dancer, you're kind of on the shelf. Mm-hmm. But there's so many things that you can do. This life is such a challenging thing to be part of that there's so many things that you can do afterwards because you have the strength and the fortitude to push forward.
There's a film about you, Wendy, called Restless Creatures, and you say in it a couple of times that if you couldn't dance ballet, you'd rather die.
Oh, I used to think that. I definitely went through my mind a few times.
And what about you, Virginia? Did that go through your mind when you were at the height of your career?
Sure. You know, when you're dancing, you have to give it your all, and you really have to feel that nothing else will answer who you are or make it worthwhile getting up in the morning. So you do feel that dancing is everything for you in that moment. Mm-hmm. It makes it possible for you to become a dancer.
Mm-hmm. Wendy, when you started dancing when you were 3 years old, when did you decide that you wanted to become a professional?
By the time I was 10, I was studying every single day except Sunday. So I was very focused and really into that. But I had teachers when I was 12 that said, we think you can go somewhere. And that's when I really trusted myself.
Did you ever consider another career?
No.
many dancers don't wind up going to college. Doesn't that hurt them later in their lives?
You know, a lot of dancers now do go to college. Yeah. Certainly when I was growing up, they said to me, you had to make a choice between college and a career.
Right.
And so I did make that choice and decided to dance instead of being in college. But nowadays, we have wonderful programs, but you also have a different climate for dancers in which people expect you to be more than just a pretty body on the stage moving.
Mm-hmm. Do most dancers give up when their bodies give out? Did you suffer from injuries that resulted from the sorts of physically challenging things you did as a dancer?
I was tremendously lucky. I had my first serious injury when I was 42, which is incredibly old.
And Wendy, you were around 47 when you decided that you had to have an operation.
Yeah, I had no pain in my body until my mid to late 40s, really, truly. So we were lucky.
And the operation you had is the sort of operation that athletes get. So do your bodies go through similar things?
Oh, definitely.
Basketball players, football players?
Exactly the same things. I mean, in different ways, but just as extreme as an athlete.
And where did they operate?
They operated on my right hip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they reconstructed the hip.
You had torn ligaments?
Torn labrum.
Labrum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it on film, and it looks jaggedy. It's kind of
a mess in there, you know.
Did you go through anything like that, Virginia?
I did not, fortunately.
Lucky, good, yes.
How old were you when you decided to become a dancer?
I think I was three. though I started studying really seriously when I was 13. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you both were studying, did any of your other dancers or dance teachers tell you that you might have to start thinking at some point about a life after dance?
Oh, my gosh, no, not when we were studying. It was, you're a dancer, and that is what you do, and you're going to dance as long as you can.
And it's the most important thing in the world.
Don't focus on anything else, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Though certainly my parents were telling me that
That's a different story. Mine were like, you have to finish high school at least, and you'll go to college after you finish dancing. That was the plan, but I haven't gone to college yet, so there's still time.
Well, and I am still a student at Fordham University.
Wow. You clearly considered a second career. You had an interest in journalism.
I did, absolutely. I felt like dancing was a form of communication. If I wasn't going to be communicating with my body, then I'd be a journalist, and I would communicate with words.
So were you pursuing a degree in communications at Fordham while you were still performing with the Dance Theatre of Harlem?
I did start back to school while I was still performing. As I said, I was incredibly old, and I realized the end was coming, and I wanted to prepare the groundwork for something
else.
And
were you doing the two things at the same time?
Yeah, it was tricky. Mm-hmm.
You also found, is it Point magazine?
No, we call it Point. Point.
Point. It is P-O-I-N-T-E.
Right.
Served as the editor-in-chief for nearly a decade.
Absolutely. It was a thrilling experience to combine my love of dancing with this knowledge of communicating and putting together something that I felt was needed in the world. So, yes, it was a tremendous experience.
There is an article in Today's Times about Renee Fleming. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have seen that.
I didn't see that yet.
She will sing her final performances in Der Rosen Cavalier next month. She says, you don't want people to be saying, oh, my God, please stop. And she describes herself as a carton of yogurt with an expiration date stamped on it. And she says, that day will come and I'll be thrown out.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Yeah. The performing arts. It's
so many ways to look at it. Yeah. Yeah.
My guests are two great dancers, Wendy Whalen and Virginia Johnson, and they will be participating in a panel discussion tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you know what you're going to be saying?
I think we'll just be talking about the different reasons that we ended our dance careers and how we plan to go on and what we want to continue going towards and different ideas that we each have in our creative lives. And
yeah, and you know, I think the thing is that those years that we spent performing as dancers were really the groundwork for another level of work. And the things we don't necessarily point our feet in our work. Oh, you point your feet in your work all the time. That's great.
I'm part-time pointing feet, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that some of the skills that we gained during that time are no longer in use, but there are other skills that we learned as dancers that make it possible for us to do our new jobs.
Yeah.
Well, what are the things that former dancers do? You went into journalism, but don't most of them wind up either choreographing or teaching or running
companies? I know former dancers that are doctors and lawyers, journalists, filmmakers, everything, but many of them are teachers and choreographers, and some are directors as well. So, certainly, I think depends on the person and themselves and what they're drawn to.
How do you deal with the whole business of public identity? Because people know you for what you did.
That's a great question. Mm, yeah,
it is a good question. and what we're doing is a continuity of that. You know, certainly as artistic director of Dance Theatre of Harlem, you know, I'm a founding member. I was part of making that company. I was part of Arthur Mitchell's vision to build that company into an international touring company. And now it's my responsibility to carry that company forward. So that's a great connection to have that identification.
And both you and Lourdes Lopez went from journalism back to dance. Lourdes Lopez joined WNBC TV in New York as a cultural arts reporter and wrote and produced feature segments on the arts, artists, and arts education after she stopped dancing. Mm-hmm. And now she is at the Miami Dance. She's doing the kind of thing that you did at New York City Ballet.
Lourdes is the director, Miami City Ballet, so she's the head honcho. She's the chief. Yeah, she's the woman in charge.
But you know, it is the same thing. It is that we're in the arts. We're building a company. We're moving something forward. We're communicating. It's that connection that you have between what you want to say and an audience, and whether you're a performer or whether you're an artistic director, it's the same thing.
Did your companies encourage you to develop careers outside of the companies? Did New York City Ballet encourage you to try other things?
Not necessarily, you know, by giving me opportunities to do certain things. Certain dancers, I think, had a certain knack for teaching or choreographing, and so that was very much encouraged. Personally, myself, I didn't get that from the company, but I was always very self-motivated myself, so I think they thought I didn't need it so much.
And then you considered doing modern dance after you couldn't do some of the things in ballet anymore.
Yeah, I'm starting a different way of using my body, and I'm also teaching as well. So,
and it's reported that next month you'll be setting Alexei Ratmansky's pictures at an exhibition at the Pacific Northwest Ballet in Seattle.
That's
what
right.
What does setting mean?
Setting? Tell me. I don't know. Help me. It'll be the first time I do this. I've never set a ballet, so I'm learning every step of every person in the ballet, and I'm teaching it to the dancers at the Pacific Northwest Ballet.
You'll be working with Ratmansky again. Didn't Ratmansky and Christopher Wheeldon collaborate on choreographing your final performance at the New York City Ballet?
They did. I asked them each to participate in my last dance, and they did. So, yeah.
Wow, getting two of the greatest choreographers in the world to collaborate must have been interesting.
It was that we were Skyping a bit, yeah, because they were both in very different parts of the world, and yeah.
Virginia, tell us about the new short film called High Above.
So High Above was created to promote our upcoming New York City Center season. We'll be there April 19th through 22. And it really is, it tells the story of a young girl trying to connect to her mother in a moment of grief and the uplifting quality of ballet that brings them back together as a family. It's really a very sweet narrative. It's about 2 minutes in length, and it's available online.
And it'll be shown, I gather, on ABC's The View next week?
Absolutely. We have the wonderful opportunity to have it. We had students from our school perform on The View, and they'll see a capsule of the video.
And how much are you involved in creating this film?
So we have a wonderful filmmaker, Daniel Schloss, who came up with the narrative, and so it was a matter of working together with the school and with our team to put together what could be put on the stage.
Now, both of you were famous dancers, so it probably was a lot easier to develop careers after you left. But what about the other dancers, people who have also worked for many years but never become the principal dancers? What do they do after they leave dance?
You know, so many of the dancers I know were the top of their class in school. Mm-hmm. They're the A kids in school. We're taught as ballet dancers to stay focused and devote ourselves and to come in with a work ethic. And we carry that work ethic and discipline into anything we want to do. And that is one of the gifts that I don't think we realize in ourselves until we leave. All the people out there are like, oh, you're a dancer. I want you for this job. Because they just know there's something that they're going to get from us. So,
a listener wonders if you've ever been involved in careers in transition.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually got the chance to be the editor of Point Magazine through Career Transition for Dancers. They told me to go over to do an interview for a magazine, and they asked, when I got there, having done the interview, they asked me if I were going to make a ballet magazine, what would I make? And so I drew up the outline, and they said, okay, we'll do it.
Did you know that you had this entrepreneurial side to your personality?
Not at all. Not at all. It was a great gift.
Did the dance companies offer a retirement package?
Yes. Dance Theatre of Harlem offers a retirement package, and I think many unions have some kind of pension
plan. We get
plan.
a little severance pay, or we put into a pension for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm assuming both of you still miss dancing.
I just took class today.
You took a class today?
I just took a class today, yeah. So and I savor every moment of it that I can still do it, and it's, yeah.
Yeah. Leonard, I wanted to go back a minute to your question about what about the other dancers? Mm-hmm. And when that was a brilliant answer. Yes, dancers are very focused and very, very driven people. But the other thing is that you've done something your whole life that mm-hmm. you love, mm-hmm. and you get that sense of satisfaction, that sense of, well, of course, frustration from time, but that sense of purpose. And that's something that you want to keep in your life even when you don't have dance. Mm. So people who are not necessarily moving back into the field of dance but move into a different field want to go to something that is meaningful for them and that they can excel in.
Now, with the possibility that arts funding is going to be cut, are you concerned?
Sure.
Deeply concerned, yeah. You know, I was thinking yesterday we had our juries in our school, and I was watching this studio full of young dancers, and they were so focused, and they were so beautiful, and they were working so hard, and there was just a sense of, I'm building a future. You know, people think about our arts organizations as the pinnacle, but actually art from the very bottom shapes our lives.
Yes.
Where do the people who apply to Dance Theater Harlem come from? Are they coming from all over the world?
For our summer session, they do indeed come from all over the world. Not so much in the winter because of housing, but in the summer, yes.
I was thinking about the fact that one company has Harlem in its name, the other one has New York City Ballet in its name. I'm assuming that most of the dancers from New York City Ballet do not come from New York.
Some of them do, not all of them, for sure, yeah. A lot of the advanced classes at the School of American Ballet gather kids from all over the world, and then the company chooses from that group generally.
Do you know the logistics of attending this event tonight?
The logistics? How to?
Yeah, if people, listeners now are inspired to come by.
I don't really know. Just come by.
Well, you know what? We'll check and we'll put it on our website at WNYC.org. It is... It's called The Next Stage. It begins at 7 p.m. tonight at the Julius S. Held Lecture Hall, hosted by the Barnard College of Dance, and features four of the finest dancers of my lifetime, including my two guests here, Wendy Whalen and Virginia Johnson. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you,
Leonard. Thank you for having us.